Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all my dear friends. This is your spokesman with the plan, Clarence Cloverleaf, welcoming you to Cloverleaf Radio on the JIA Network. You can listen to our shows on close to 20 different streaming platforms, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Radio Public, and YouTube, to name a few. I've helped compile a list of our best guests since 2008, and those interviews have been scattered about the cloud, as they say. Something I thought we only received rain from. Go figure. So, go find yourself a good one, and you can listen 24/7, 365, to guests from all genres of entertainment. You never know who could show up. Check out www.jianetwork.com. And now, on to the main event with your host, the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. And, well, quite frankly, anyone as his guest. Enjoy the show!
All righty, we are back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. God, it's been quite some time, but what a better day to come back than today on the day of our 12-year anniversary. I am, as always, the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon. Joining me today is my dear friend, veteran voiceover actor, singer, writer, producer, director. This guy's even done some stand-up comedy. It was classic. My old friend, Wally Wingert, what's up?
Happy anniversary, everybody!
Happy anniversary!
Happy anniversary, baby! Got you on my mind! Yeah, well, you know, that song that is probably way too old for any of your listeners to remember because it was back in 1979. Anyway, how are you?
Oh, things are going great here in Illinois. It's like mid-50s today. I mean, who can complain about that? We don't have any rain.
Yeah, it's been absolutely beautiful here. It's been almost kissing 80. And I've been out for a lot of walks, and it's just been enjoying the weather, and it's getting to be spring again. Of course, it never gets, you know, very cold here in Los Angeles. But it has been chilly, but, wow, it's been really, really, really nice. A little bit windy. I don't like the wind so much, but it's been fantastic here. So spring has sprung.
That is awesome to hear. It's been quite some time since we spoke. So what's been most recent with you? I saw you stepped on the stage of a comedy club not too long ago. That had to be pretty cool. But what else is new?
My first and last foray into stand-up comedy. I will probably never do that again because, once again, my sense of humor is just too outdated for your average comedy club audience. I'm talking about Gilligan's Island and Andy Griffith Show and Starsky and Hutch, and they want to hear about Taylor Swift and John Legend. I'm like, yeah, I don't really know much about that, so I guess I'm not going to be relating to my audience too well. But it was pretty fun. The first Monday of every month at Flappers Comedy Club here in Burbank, they have We Talk Funny, which is a voice actor-only evening where they have voice actors, you know, try their hand at stand-up comedy, do stuff, and do funny voices and stuff. So I said, yeah, I'll give it a try. So my first and last stand-up comedy, where I wasn't actually doing a character, like I've done plenty of stuff where I've been Austin Powers or Andy Kaufman or Tony Clifton, but this is where it was just Wally, and we lived or died based on what Wally said. So it was pretty successful, pretty fun. But I'm glad I only did 10 minutes. I would hate to do a whole hour and a half show because I could tell that, you know, some of my references were just too far gone for a lot of the people who were there. But that's fine. It was pretty fun. But I can say I did it. I can say I headlined a comedy club. So moving on to the next great thing.
Yeah, I thought you did great, especially, you know, being a one-time thing. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. It was, like I said, it was fun. I'm glad I did it. Moving on to the next big thing. What have you been up to?
Well, I guess, working a lot this past week. Well, I guess the weekend I was sick, unfortunately. And
uh-oh, a little case of the coronavirus?
Oh. I hope not. Just a few things going on here that I wish weren't, but always better stuff to talk about. I guess a lot of people know that you were my inspiration to get involved with radio.
You're very kind for saying that.
Who your inspiration was to start your own DJ career, which included a stint as Dennis Jimenez.
Dennis Jimenez, yes. If you say it really fast, Jimenez. Dennis Jimenez, it sounds like you're saying Dennis the Menace, which was kind of a weird radio name to have. It was given to me. I didn't. It wasn't my choice. We had a program director that loved plays on words, Harley Worth It, Marsha Dimes, Just in Time, that kind of stuff, Mitch Moore. So he gave me Dennis Jimenez, and people thought I was saying Dennis the Menace, but we didn't really have any Hispanic or Latin people in South Dakota to understand the Jimenez legacy. So, people just called me Dennis the Menace, and nobody really ever got the joke, and we moved on. So, but yeah, it was pretty fun. I started when I was 16 in Aberdeen, South Dakota, and then moved to Sioux Falls, worked there, and then moved out to Los Angeles in 87 and worked on 94.7 The Wave out here. So I've virtually worked every format except talk. I've never done talk radio. It was all rock and roll radio, all music. It was country. It was top 40. It was adult contemporary. It was rock. It was smooth jazz. A lot of stuff. So pretty exciting. But, you know, you move on to something else. And then I got into voice acting. And now I'm starting to branch out into some other projects and some on-camera things and a few other deals. So just trying to stay busy and stay creatively viable in this ever-changing marketplace.
Absolutely. I'm sure it's not, you know, always easy doing what you do because there's a lot always changing with the animations and even the technology going into, you know, actually recording the voices. So it has to be something you're constantly on your toes with.
Well, it does, and that's what's so funny about I don't want to get on the soapbox here, but that's what's so funny about, you know, TV actors going into voiceover, that voiceover is really hard work. And if you're a TV actor, you just got to kind of say a few things, and, you know, you're good, and then you can go to your trailer for a little bit and then rest and relax, and then you come back and get on set and say a few things and go back to your trailer and rest and relax. You know, it's pretty cushy. But you know, voice acting's tough. You know, you got to stand up for 4 hours on your feet and be in character that full 4 hours. And it's like doing a one man stage show. Sometimes it's exhausting, but for 4 hours. So a lot of these wimpy TV actors, they get into voiceover thinking, I show up in my pajamas, don't have to wear makeup. And then they're realizing what hard work it is. So it's like, well, maybe you should be a TV actor and forget about leave the voice acting to the professionals, but the voice acting world is getting polluted, may I say, with all kinds of celebrities and TV actors and all kinds of people who probably have no business being there. But anyway, that's the way the business is kind of going. So, oh well, that's why I'm starting to kind of look at branching out into other things, because if they're going to play in my sandbox, I'm going to try and go play in their sandbox. So we'll see what happens.
Movie star Wally Wingert.
Yeah, well, maybe not.
One of those stars.
I don't think so. I just want to be a second banana. I'd be a great second or third banana. I have a really good friend who's one of the busiest character actors in town, and he loves just going from job to job to job to job to job, just being second banana and third banana and guest star and that kind of stuff. He's had, you know, starring roles on TV shows and series and stuff. He just loves going from show to show to show and doing, keeping it vast and varied.
Absolutely. I'm sure that's something that's very important. And of course, being that you've been a voiceover actor for nearly 30 years, I found it interesting to see that 1998 Super Adventure Team had you credited as Grant Wiley. Why Grant Wiley?
Well, I'll give you the short version is, it was a non-union production. I hadn't been in Screen Actors Guild for very long, and they were really cutting down on union voice actors and union actors, or any union actor, voice or face, of doing non-union productions. And it was a non-union production on MTV, and MTV, you know, didn't really have the budget to go, you know, union, Screen Actors Guild. But I loved the show so much, and I auditioned for it. I really, really, really wanted to do it. Created by Dana Gould and Rob Cohen, two very, very, very funny guys. Dana Gould, of course, stand-up comedy, and Rob Cohen, former writer for The Simpsons. And they did they pitched the show via, you know, Thunderbird style, the old Jerry Anderson shows, with the puppets on strings, the marionettes, Super Marionation. And MTV took it. and only did 6 episodes because Jerry Anderson threatened to sue them, MTV. And as opposed to standing up and saying, "Nah, this is nothing like your show," MTV, according to what I heard, just pulled the show and said, "No, we're not going to deal with this." So it was too bad because it was a very funny show. But being non-union, we had to use our non-union pseudonyms. So you have to come up with some sort of other name in lieu of using your real name because you didn't want to get in trouble with the union. So I said, well, I still want people to know it's me because I'm proud of this. So I came up with the name Grant W. Wiley, which is an anagram for Wally Wingert. So if you rearrange the letters, yeah, if you rearrange the letters in Grant W. Wiley, you get Wally Wingert. So that's the true Hollywood story about that. But then, Team America comes out, and they do essentially the same thing, and again they get threatened with a lawsuit from Jerry Anderson, and they're like, "Yeah, sue us. We don't care. Bring it on." And realizing that he was full of bluster, there was no lawsuit, and it was allowed to continue. But because MTV, kind of turned chicken, they didn't fight for it, which is why you only have 6 episodes of Super Adventure Team now that's out there. But it was hilarious. Love that show.
That's unfortunate when shows don't seem to be able to go longer, especially just 6 episodes. That doesn't leave me very much in mind of what the series could have been.
Well, the thing that's really a shame, it's one thing if you just have a bunch of actors together and you're on camera and you're doing 6 episodes and like, well, we got canceled, they're not doing it anymore, and then you all go your merry way. But they created miniature sets, miniature spaceships, miniature, of course, all the puppets.
Wow.
They had 2 different kinds of puppets. They had the full-body puppets that were on strings for long shots, and then they had the close-up puppets that were kind of rod puppets that they'd work from below. So they had spent a lot of money creating these puppets, and I don't even know where all the sets and everything all ended up at the end of the day, but sure would like to have one of those Buck Murdoch puppets if anybody's listening.
I'm sure they're out there somewhere.
Next time I see Dana Gould, I got to ask him where all that stuff ended up. He and Rob might have it, actually.
Wow. It'll be interesting to see where a lot of those props have gone over the years. Of course, a lot of them went to your house.
Well, a few of them anyway. I collect vastly different stuff, but the 2 things I would like to find, 3 things I would like to find, is a Buck Murdoch puppet. I would love to find the Kelbo puppet that I used on Murphy Brown when I first got my SAG card, my Screen Actors Guild card. I got it doing a puppet on Murphy Brown. And I'd love to find a pair of Andy Kaufman's white coveralls from Taxi. I would love to find that. But
yeah,
I think Paramount had a big purging many years ago, and I think that all that stuff probably went, out the door, unfortunately. So probably never going to find any of those Paramount gems, like any Taxi wardrobe or anything, which is probably not going to happen. And, they see a pair of white coveralls, full of grease or full of stains. So really, what the Paramount costuming department is probably like, well, what are we gonna ever do with these things? They're dirty, they're full of grease, and can't be cleaned. So what are we gonna do with them? Well, I'll just throw them away. So they probably threw away all of Andy's old, original, Lotka Gravis coveralls, which is kind of sad. But oh well.
One of our listeners, Jason Shook, wanted to know. He said, as I'm sure you already know, your guest tonight played the badass Psycho Blue Power Ranger in Power Rangers in Space and Lost Galaxy. You had time for a question. Some of us have been wanting to know how does he feel knowing a character with little screen time has gained such a large cult following?
Now, who asked this question?
Jason Shook.
Oh, Jason. Hey, Jason. Hey, how's it going? Well, when they first asked me to come to some Power Ranger conventions, I said, what, you kidding me? It was only on, you know, like 6 or 7 episodes. Who cares about this? And they said, oh, no, we've got all the other voices of the other psychos. They're all coming. I said, really? That's so weird that it would have a following based on, you know, like you said, low screen time. But then they came out with the toys. And I said, oh, well, maybe there is something to this. If they're, and I'm looking at them right now in my cabinet. One's holding an axe and the other has lightning fingers and is shooting green lightning. Because the fans are really nice. They send me all this stuff. So I was like, oh, well, that's pretty cool. So, but, you know, as a fan of the old Batman TV series, I was a huge fan of some of the villains that only had, you know, one episode, like False Face and some of the other ones. So I totally got it. I said, yeah, I can kind of understand that they make an impact, you know, when they're doing their short run on the show and the fans embrace it for one reason or another. And the Psycho Rangers did look pretty cool. They had really cool costumes. So I totally understand why they would be embraced as such.
Yeah, I picked up the Psycho Blue figure at GameStop not too long ago, and a couple days after that, I got a MODOK figure, and gosh, there was another one I got. A Riddler figure. So it's been like Wally month or something.
Oh, wow. So you got what? MODOK, Riddler, and Blue Psycho?
Yep.
Oh, very cool. Nice.
Gotta love toys.
All at GameStop?
No, I got the Riddler at Walmart.
Oh, wow.
And I got MODOK and Wasp was like a 2-pack at Walgreens.
Cool. Nice.
And, of course, you worked on the legendary Invader Zim as Almighty Tallest Red. What was it like returning to work on Enter the Scorpus?
That was way too brief. I wish it would have been a series so I could work with these amazing people again for a long period of time. But it was I'll take what I can get, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see all the old gang, and the script was great, and the movie turned out great, and something really to be proud of. So I was very happy about the whole thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool when they're actually able to get back the original cast with these reboots or continuances of the series. Helps add a lot to the nostalgia of things.
It does, yeah, because they had everybody. Came back. Everybody's back. Of course, luckily, thank God, everybody's, you know, still alive and still around, which is not the case when they rebooted the Hey Arnold franchise. There was one gentleman who was just too old to perform anymore and one other gentleman who had passed away. So they had to find, you know, voice doubles for those characters. But yeah, Invader Zim, great. Everybody's still around and still working, and I don't think anybody has actually left the industry. Andy, who played Dib, became a producer, so he was on the road producing television shows, but they talked him into coming back for this, and he said, yeah, sure. So that was pretty cool. So interesting. Yeah. We're glad to have everyone back.
Very, very awesome. And I guess my last question, we briefly spoke about your huge collection of numerous cool items, including movie memorabilia, life-size figures, autographs, cells, and puppets. What are some of your favorite items in your collection?
Well, obviously, the favorite is my Andy Kaufman performance costume that he used on countless TV shows and live appearances, including the very first episode of Saturday Night Live in 1975. When he wore this costume and performed Mighty Mouse, that's a thing that I really, really, really like. I'm really obsessed now with my one-to-one Muppet replicas of Kermit the Frog and Animal and Gonzo, made from the patterns and the same fabrics, and they look, you know, exactly like the real ones. I'm busy now making. I used to build puppets when I was about 19, and wanted to be a Muppet performer until I got a cease and desist letter from the Henson Association, telling me not to build Muppets anymore and not to do any more performing. The only reason I built the puppets in the first place was so I could make a demo tape to send to them to hopefully get a job. but Jim Henson wasn't in the country, and the demo tape ended up on the desk of some overenthusiastic attorney, and they just sent out a cease and desist letter, which I have probably displayed on my puppet room wall. But I was a 19-year-old kid. I didn't know what cease and desist meant. I didn't know what laws I was breaking. I was doing it to make a demo so I could join the group. But some overenthusiastic attorney wanted to type out a cease and desist. So it crushed the dreams of a 19-year-old Midwestern boy who wanted to be a Muppet performer. But it wasn't meant to be. It all worked out, and I went into doing what I was supposed to do. But I still love the Muppets, and I made a Rolf the dog to join the other Muppets that I have. I had a Manamana made, and he joined the other puppets. And now I'm making an Oscar the Grouch, which is almost completed. It took me a long time to figure out how the eye blink mechanism worked. And now my next project is building a Beautiful Day Muppet, which was in the early days of Sesame Street and then mysteriously just unceremoniously disappeared. He was kind of the blue monster with kind of the fishy beak-looking thing and the big flashing eyes. But they called him Beautiful Day because he was used in a bit early on where he's a monster trying to ruin a little girl's beautiful day, and he just can't seem to do it. And so he got the moniker Beautiful Day. But I've always loved that puppet. But it involves some sculpting of foam rubber, which I was always pretty good at when I was a kid. I'm going to see if I can still do it. So I'm actually, when we're off the air here, I got to run down to my special effects guy's studio to bring him a mold for some eyeballs that I want to have him make for Beautiful Day. So, pretty exciting. I love doing that. I love sitting around just cutting foam rubber and gluing it together and making a puppet and seeing it come to life and taking it to a convention and entertaining people. And if the Muppets want to send me another cease and desist, bring it on. I'm going to fight it this time. I'm going to fight it. So, whatever. Anyway, what are you up to? I mean, what are you doing these days? Collecting?
Oh,
I mean, you got the three cool figures there.
Yeah, I have too many toys. I have a whole shelf of Stone Cold Steve Austin figures.
Oh, wow.
Is
he still alive? Or
is
he one of the guys who died?
Nope, he's still around. He does some acting. And has a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast these days.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Wally. I'll leave you to your eyeball work. But
thanks, Timmy.
Thanks again for
pressing things. I got to get these eyeballs made. That's part of my life now.
Absolutely. Well, enjoy, and thanks so much again for everything, for the friendship and hospitality, and just being a good guy.
Well, thank you very much, and come to L.A. and see me again.
Yes, I need to.
All right. Have fun, and happy anniversary.
Yes, thanks again. Have a great night.
You too.
All righty, guys. Well, if you just happened to join us a couple of minutes ago, you can go back in probably about 20, 30 minutes, maybe even less than that. It is 2020, for gosh sakes. These things maybe go faster than I believe them to, and check out the whole show. Always an honor talking to my dear friend Wally Winger, the inspiration for me to get into radio, 15 years of wonderful friendship, and it will be really nice when I can make it back out to L.A. and see Wally again. Always a good time. We don't have any more shows scheduled, but of course you can stay tuned to my Facebook, facebook.com/theonlyhostofthemost, our blog talk, janetwork.com, or many other places to see in the future who we have coming up. And of course, SilCon and Dark History Con are already in the works for this year. Some guests already announced, so be sure and Google those and get some information about that, because those are some great conventions. Big thanks again to Wally Winger, and we will see you guys down the road. Can't believe it's been 12 years doing Cloverleaf. It's insanity. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great night.